Builders and their investors are not so sure about the health of the U.S. economy. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Federal Reserve doesn't think the U.S. economy is healthy enough to raise interest rates for a, quote, considerable time, and fresh numbers this morning from the housing market lend support to that view. On Thursdays, we get a consultation with Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So what did we learn about housing starts? I think the numbers were for August.
What we saw in August was that housing starts slipped back below the million-unit threshold, which already, although that's an important threshold to hit, is still sort of weak given the stage of the recovery we're in, even in the wake of a housing bust. So what we're seeing is the housing market is still struggling to recover. It's what got us into this place, and it is part of what needs to get us out of this. Single-family home construction remains at a particularly low level of economic activity, and that's really important because we're the bulk of any spillover effects of economic activity like employment, production, spending by consumers happens is when you build a single-family home and buy it.
So this would lend credence to the Fed's view that we learned about yesterday.
Exactly. What it does is it affirms the Fed's hesitation to move too quickly to raise rates because what we might see is a reaction in the housing market that's even more dramatic. That happened last summer when rates increased and the Fed had to sort of start over and reset on its whole tapering experiment. They really want to be able to have the party noisy enough so that when they walk out of the room, people won't notice so much.
All right. Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Last evening, the Senate joined the House in passing a measure to approve new ingredients for sunscreen in America. There's a backlog at the FDA, meaning Americans have had to do without modern sunscreen formulations that people in other countries have been using. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The FDA hasn't approved applications for new sunscreen ingredients since the late 1990s. The applications are mired in complex regulations. Ironically, they were supposed to simplify FDA approval of ingredients that have been used safely in other countries.
And it's just ridiculous.
Scott Faber is with the Environmental Working Group, which pressured Congress to get involved.
Consumers in Canada or the EU, Australia, are able to use sunscreens that are much more effective at blocking out both UVA and UVB rays.
Sunscreen makers have joined dermatologists in a coalition called PASS, or Public Access to Sunscreens. Michael Werner is the group's chief lobbyist. He says manufacturers want access to the very latest ingredients.
It would allow product developers to innovate and use new technologies and new science.
The FDA wouldn't do an interview with me, but it did issue a statement which says it's prioritized reviewing the safety and effectiveness of additional sunscreen ingredients. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
This year's corn crop is expected to break records thanks in part to weather that was generally just about right. The great crop is a paradox for farmers. The Agriculture Department says the average price per bushel will probably drop by more than 30%. Marketplace's Dan Weissman traveled to Iowa, where he met with a young farmer facing a difficult bounty.
This is a story about how markets work. So before heading to Iowa, I stopped at the Chicago Board of Trade, where Scott Shellady trades for TJM Investments. He describes a farmer's ideal scenario.
So if you want high prices as a farmer, you want there to be a drought on everybody else's farm except yours.
In theory, a big crop should have an upside. Sure, prices are low.
You, technically speaking, are making more of it. So lower prices but more of it should help make up for that.
Okay, but does it?
Not really. Not all the time, no.
That's because once you've got too much, the price drops super hard. That's a new experience for Alex Edgington. He's 27, 4 years into his career as a farmer. We met on his farm near St. Ansgar, about 10 miles south of the Minnesota border.
It's about 65 degrees, severely muggy, cloudy, and we just got done getting some rain. And the cattle aren't too happy either.
The day we met, corn prices in Chicago had just gone below $3.45 a bushel.
I think I sold my first 5,000 bushels of corn at $4.86, and it did nothing but go up after that. So for me, this is definitely my first down year, and it's nerve-wracking. It's very scary.
Most of his acres are in corn, with some soybeans, which are also in oversupply. Another farmer owns those cows and pays Alex to keep them. He's got 53 goats of his own.
Having the animals, that'll keep me afloat this year. I don't know how I would do in a five-year deal of this.
I ask him about Scott Shelby's colleagues at the Board of Trade. Couldn't Alex have sold his crop on the futures market there earlier this year? Prices were above $5 at one point.
Well, the opportunity is always there to sell, and you sometimes you do risk it waiting for a higher price. The other times, this is, especially last year, you don't know if you're going to have a crop. And we planted one-third of our total acres last year.
If they'd tried pre-selling super early, hoping to grab higher prices, they would have been in trouble. Near St. Ansgar, Iowa, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And we'll be watching today to see exactly how much it'll cost to buy a share in Alibaba. When it begins trading in the U.S. tomorrow, the company accounts for 80% of all online commerce in China. The credit card company Visa raised the most money ever in an IPO. And there's a chance Alibaba might beat that record with perhaps $22 billion raised. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.